Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. In today's episode, we are continuing on with our book club pick, The Spirit-Filled Life by Charles Stanley, Discovering the Joy of Surrendering to the Holy Spirit. I know we took a little break, so if you are new here, this book is one of my top 3 faith-based books of all time. This book I'm reading again, for not just for the podcast, but for myself, because I am in search of just really mastering the Spirit-filled life and living in a way to where I am dependent on the Holy Spirit and not allowing my own competencies, perspectives, etc., to lead me more than He is. And as I was revisiting this book for myself, I thought it would be a great opportunity for us to read it together. And in previous book club picks, I always say I try to record each episode in a way to where if you're not reading the book, you still get the message. And while I'll continue to do that, I cannot stress enough that I really want you guys to get this book. And I don't even want you to just get the audiobook. I want you to get the physical book so that you can write and underline and highlight and fill up the margins. If you're new here, I'll read to you a quick summary from the back of the book, what it's about. It says, a wise, measured, and deeply passionate invitation to a Spirit-filled life. Are you trying your best to be a good Christian but still feel something's missing? Does the peace and joy you long for seem to elude you? Can following Christ sometimes feel like a lot of work, or is it just not working very well? Much has been written about the Holy Spirit and what it means to have Him as an integral part of your life. Dr. Charles Stanley cuts through the confusion and teaches the truth about the third person of the Trinity, who is as real and active as God the Father and Christ the Son. Through personal stories, biblical exploration, and insightful explanation, Dr. Stanley helps you discover who the Spirit is and how to develop a relationship with Him, who the Spirit isn't, and how to avoid damaging misconceptions, how being filled with the Spirit actually works, what the Bible teaches about spiritual signs such as speaking in tongues, how the Holy Spirit can increase your capacity for faith, hope, love, and personal transformation, what it means to hear the Spirit's voice, how to make the most of your unique spiritual gifting to build up Christ's body, what happens when the Spirit's power is unleashed in your workplace, your family, your friendships, and every other area of your life. Don't settle for an ordinary life that lacks the power, joy, and meaning. Live the mighty and victorious Christian life you were created to enjoy. Discover the Spirit-filled life and a great gift the Father has given you through His Holy Spirit. So if any of those bullet points and things that we're going to discover applies to you, again, please get this book. And even if it don't, just trust me on this one. Grab this book. I'll put the link in the description for you to get your copy. Now, I was so excited to pick this book back up. I try not to read ahead because I want to be able to record the podcast while the chapter is fresh on my mind. And I was really excited to pick this book back up because for me personally, I'm getting ready to go back to school. I just had a baby. There are a lot of logistics in my life now with 3 children, marriage, 2 businesses, etc. There's a lot going on. And all of these things are blessing from the Lord. And I know that the Lord has graced me for these things. And I have enough wisdom also to know that I personally have a tendency to try to be self-sufficient. As we discussed, even in our last book club pick, where we were talking about leadership, that author talked often about how pride and self-sufficiency are always right there trying to tempt us back into doing things in our own strength versus relying on the Lord. And so as I've been just seeking the Lord about stepping into this new chapter and embracing this new season of my life, this is the perfect time for me to pick this book up because I want to do that in a way to where the Holy Spirit is in control and not me. So I have to resist my own urge to put my hands on the steering wheel and actively surrender. And I believe that this chapter, just as the Lord does, really met me where I was. And I believe it's going to meet a lot of you where you are as well. So we pick up here in the last chapter, the author discussed his aha moment, his revelation about the Holy Spirit. And then as we come into this chapter, he discusses how he saw the fruit of that revelation mostly in his ministry, or it was most apparent in his ministry. But he understands that, of course, there's more to life than ministry. So he starts off by introducing a dilemma that he faced in his church. And I feel like this is one we've either participated in or seen. So he said, things went well at the church. People were accepting Christ the Savior, being baptized, and joining the congregation. Everybody seemed to like me. My family adjusted quickly to the change. But early in the spring of 1964, I saw a trend in our worship services that disturbed me. A group of church members made repeated trips down the aisle during the invitation. Each time they came forward, they would confess the same sins. We would pray at the altar together, and I would send them back to their seats. But in a few weeks, they would be right back with the same problems. The situation really bothered me. I remember thinking, am I not helping these folks? Is there something that I'm not telling them? He said, eventually it occurred to me that I was struggling with some of the same things that they were struggling with, and I didn't have the solution. The irony was that I continued to sense the Holy Spirit's presence in my preparation and public presentations, but he was conspicuously absent in my private life. And let me pause here. Any of you who are in leadership roles, have you ever felt like this before? I feel like it's quite bold of Charles Stanley to even admit this here. Like, here he is, this pastor, this professor who is in front of these congregations. He's praying for people. He's teaching people. And he's sensing the Holy Spirit's presence when it comes to his ministry activities. But there's this disconnect of the Holy Spirit's presence in his everyday life. I'm so glad he was honest about this because I believe this is something that so many people look over. And when you do look it over, you put yourself in a dangerous position to where you start ministering out of order. You start ministering from your own strength and not from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so I wanted to just put a little pin in this right here for anybody who is in a leadership role, that if you find yourself in this space to where you see the Holy Spirit move in your notes, you're preparing for a lesson, a message, or a group, leading a group, whatever ministry looks like for you, you feel the Holy Spirit's presence in that preparation. You feel the Holy Spirit's presence and you see him move when you're teaching, when you're ministering, when you are facilitating your groups. But then that same movement of the Holy Spirit, that same activity and obvious interference is missing from your day to day. That's something to investigate. That's something that you shouldn't take lightly. And I am, again, so glad that he was honest about this, because we have to talk about it. He even says that for a long time, I had a hunch something was missing, but I couldn't put my finger on it. I had a nagging suspicion that there was more to the Christian life than what I was experiencing, but I didn't know where to turn for the answer. I also believe that the Holy Spirit was to play an important role in every facet of my existence, but I couldn't make the connection. I didn't understand how to invite him into the more private areas of my life. For the most part, I was doing all the right things and doing my best to live a good life, but it was as if I was serving a distant king. God was way out there somewhere, watching, taking notes perhaps. There was no warmth or intimacy in my relationship with him. What really got my attention, however, were several secret sins in my life, things that no one knew about. They were nothing out of the ordinary, but they were behaviors I knew were displeasing to God. I did everything I knew to do to change, but I experienced no consistent victory. I would retreat to that age-old excuse, "Well, Charles, nobody's perfect." I knew in my heart that that didn't cut it with God. Then I would feel even more guilty. I could promise and pray and at times even fast, but there was no change. I concluded that either the Bible didn't have a message adequate for my personal life or I was missing something. You see why I say self-awareness is one of the secrets to success? Because even here he says, what really got my attention were several secret sins in my life, things that no one knew about. He didn't say that he was exposed or he got in trouble for something that brought his sins to the forefront. He didn't say that. He didn't say that somebody else brought something to his attention. He said that he got his own attention based upon some secret sins that he had. He didn't even tell us what the sins are, and I don't think that they're relevant. But his own personal assessment of his current standing with the Lord led him to investigate. And this led him to the revelation that we're discussing in this chapter. But I want to highlight these things because I want us to learn the lesson being taught and also the lesson being implied here. And one of the lessons being implied here is that we as Christians have to investigate our stance and take inventory of where we stand with the Lord at any given time. We have to take inventory of where we stand in our holiness, take inventory of where we stand in our dependency and our surrender, and adjust accordingly. It's when we don't do this that we really get in trouble. And he was really knocking on my door here, because while there aren't necessarily any secret sins that I'm dealing with right now, I know that there are behaviors or there's a way in which I'm going about my day to day that I feel like could be displeasing to the Lord. I'm in a season where I have a brand new baby. I have two other children. I have businesses. So I'm breastfeeding. So every 2 hours I'm with the baby, sleep deprived, etc. So I feel like I'm in a space where I'm being swept into the responsibilities of my day. My pace is being determined by what I have to do or what my responsibilities are, and not being tempered in such a way to where I'm keeping in step with the Spirit. This is something that I personally have noticed about myself, which is why I was saying that I am excited to pick this book back up, because somewhere along the way, I've drifted off into allowing life to sweep me into its pace versus me playing my part of living a life that is surrendered, including the pace in which I live it. So yes, I may have an infant. Yes, I may have businesses. Yes, I may have other children, a husband, and responsibilities, but that doesn't mean I have to be rushing and busy and on the move and all of these different things. That doesn't mean that my mind has to be occupied with everything I got going on. That doesn't mean any of that. The Lord wants me to live from a place of peace, of grace, of joy, of slowness, of stillness, of recognizing his presence. The Lord doesn't want me to get up and hop right into my responsibilities. He wants me to get up, acknowledge him, and let him determine the pace of my day. And so it's very easy, especially as women who are busy and wearing many hats, for us to be swept into life. But then if we do that, life becomes our God and not him. So are we going to keep in step with the Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit going to be in control, or are our circumstances in control? And I wanted to highlight that because sometimes we think that it is only the suffering or major life events that can throw us off. It really can be the things that we prayed and asked the Lord for that the enemy will then use to try to create distance from us. And so this is why for me personally, similar to the author, where I'm like, hey, we need to investigate this because God, I'm getting ready to walk into even more responsibility, taking on a new undertaking, and I cannot do it this way. So let's deal with this now before it happens. Let's address this now so that when I do walk into having to now add classes and tests and papers and this pursuit onto my plate, I'm not adding something else that's going to separate me from the Lord, but I'm just fully embracing the fullness of all that the Lord has called me to in this season and doing so with a level of peace and a level of calmness and a level of surrender and knowing that, yeah, this may seem like a lot to other people, but the Lord wouldn't bring me here for it to overtake me. Overwhelm is not my portion. Overwhelm is not your portion. And so if you can identify with that, if you're in that space where you feel like life is sweet, keeping you up into it, then listen up. We in the same spot. And I believe that Mr. Stanley is articulating this season well and also giving us a very practical solution.
This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important. And in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. He goes on to discuss how he was getting ready to do a sermon on Galatians 5, because at his church, he had been walking through Galatians. But as he was reading the chapter, he was having an internal conflict because he wasn't living by the Spirit and he wasn't seeing the fruit of the Spirit manifested in his life. And so he was essentially racing against the clock, because here he is in this series where he has to start teaching on this, but he's not fully living this. And so he sat with the Lord so that he could figure this out ahead of him having to stand before his congregation. And so as he was seeking to solve this problem of the distance between he and God, he wrote this journal entry that he added here in the book. It says, "For months, I've had one experience after the other where my heart yearned for a deeper walk with God. There have been moments of victory, but more defeats. My private communion with Jesus have been inconsistent. There are spurts of inspiration which soon dwindle into insignificance. I have prayed, begged, pleaded, striven, worked, done everything in my power to receive victory in my personal devotions. Satan had defeated me continually. There is something I do not have, which I must have. My present experience with Christ is not real. It is only words. My heart is aching to the breaking point. Oh God, please, I beg you, give me victory tonight. You have said in your word, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them than ask him? I do not feel I can pray or preach publicly again until I get victory. I need continuous victory, consistent victory. I beg of you to search my heart, lay it bare, reveal to me my every sin. Reveal yourself to me tonight. I believe the human heart has no desire which you cannot satisfy. Oh God, out of my heart, let the rivers of living water flow." Again, another lesson that I feel like is implied here, where he went to the Lord with his dilemma and with his vulnerability. He went to the Lord honestly, humbly, and he asked the Lord for what he wanted. He wanted a deeper walk with him. He wanted a closer connection. He had did all the external things, pray and beg, plead, work, all of this. He's done it, fasted, all of these things to check his Christian checkbox, but there was still distance between him and the Lord. And he was at a point, a breaking point, so to speak, because his integrity wouldn't allow him to go and speak before his congregation without dealing with this. And so he sat with the Lord until it was dealt with. That is a level of pursuing God that we all need to have. We need to be self-aware enough to know the ways in which Satan is having the victory over us, and we have to be uncompromising about having the victory over the enemy, because I've said this before, this fight is fixed in our favor. So if the enemy has victory over us in any type of way, it's because we forfeited. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm not taking no L's in a battle that is already won, a battle that the Lord won for me. And so I want us to have this same pursuit of God in our own life, to where if you feel that distance, if you feel separated from the Lord in any type of way, you've done all the things that you know to do, I want you to sit before the Lord just like he did and plead with him. Lay your heart out to him and watch what he does. He says here, "At some point in the afternoon, I opened the little book that I had taken from the dining room table and began to read." So this little book that he's talking about, earlier on, he said he was getting ready to go and sit with the Lord, and he just happened to grab this book off his dining room table. He didn't intend to. He didn't look at it. He just grabbed it. And so after he poured his heart out to the Lord, he ended up just opening it because he had it. And so he says the title of the book was "They Found the Secret" by V. Raymond Edmond. The work was composed of 20 short biographical sketches of great men of God. The author's goal was to chronicle the time in each man's life when he entered into what Edmond called the exchanged life. Listen closely to this. This was so good. "The Christian life is a life of abiding in Christ. How does the branch bear fruit? Not by incessant effort for sunshine and air, not by vain struggles for those vivifying influences which give beauty to the blossom. It simply abides in the vine in silent and undisturbed union, and blossoms and fruit appear as of spontaneous growth." I want you to look at these specific words. How does a branch bear fruit? It simply abides in the vine in silent and undisturbed union, and blossoms and fruit appear as of spontaneous growth. How then shall a Christian bear fruit? By efforts and struggles to obtain that which is freely given? By meditations on watchfulness, on prayer, on action, on temptation, and on dangers? No, there must be a full concentration of the thoughts and affections on Christ, a complete surrender of the whole being to Him, a constant looking at Him for grace. Christians in whom these dispositions are once firmly fixed go on calmly as the infant born into the arms of its mother. It dawned on me that I had been like the branch straining to produce fruit on its own. No wonder there was so little fruit in my life. Branches were not designed to produce fruit. They were designed to have fruit produced through them. I had been going about the whole process backward. In Galatians, Paul contrasts the deeds of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. My approach had been to do the deeds of the Spirit. How foolish. And I'm coming in to say how relatable. How many of us have done the exact same thing, trying to produce love, produce patience, produce self-control on our own, thinking that we are doing the Christian thing? But the Christian thing is not to produce the fruit of the Spirit. It's to have undisturbed union with the Lord, complete surrender to Him. And as a byproduct of that, fruit will be produced through us by His Spirit. And when I was reading this, this was so good to me, and I needed to be reminded of it because these are things that I knew. This wasn't a first time understanding of this. I knew that the fruit of the Spirit is produced through me, not me producing it. But the reason why I needed to hear this was because of these words that I'm highlighting here. The words like spontaneous growth, undisturbed union, full concentration of the thoughts and affections on Christ, complete surrender, constant looking to Him for grace. And this last sentence that said, Christians in whom these dispositions, meaning this is how you are, this is how you are made up, are once firmly fixed, go on calmly, not anxiously, not from a place of overwhelm, but when this is your disposition, you go on calmly as the infant born into the arms of its mother. And when I read this shortly after, I was actually holding my daughter and she was fussing a little bit. So I'm walking around holding her and I walked past the mirror and I was looking at the way in which she was in my arms. So I was holding her. Her head was like on my shoulder, her body fully relaxed. Her arms were down to her side, legs just hanging. She's not attempting to hold on to me in any type of way. She's not bracing herself in any type of way. She ain't grabbing onto my shirt or my head or anything like that. Her limbs aren't long enough to wrap around me, but she's not making any type of attempt to try to secure herself because she is fully surrendered and trusting that I am holding her. I'm her mother. I'm holding her and she's confident that I'm not going to drop her. Anybody who's had a baby know, like, they have this reflex where they feel like they're falling. They like kind of shake a little bit. It was none of that. She was fully content and at peace, resting in my arms. And it was so good to me just looking at that because it reminded me of this is how I need to be with the Lord. And not sporadically, not when I'm motivated or I'm inspired to or where circumstances make it favorable for, but this constant, complete, undisturbed, firmly fixed disposition, this is one that has to be fought for. And I'm going to be honest enough to tell you that the same way that we talked about in previous books, how pride and self-sufficiency are always right there waiting to tempt us into them, so is us disconnecting from the vine. Busyness breaks our full concentration from being on the thoughts and affection of Christ. Having a full plate disturbs our surrender. Suffering and circumstances disturb our surrender. When there are other things that we need to look out for on the day to day, it tempts us into no longer looking to Christ for grace, but looking for tools and resources and solution to solve our present problems, as opposed to going to or relying on our helper. And nobody is immune to this disruption. The enemy loves, especially those of us who are ambitious, who are believing in God for some things, who are goal-oriented, etc. Those of us who are busy, who wear many hats, we are prime targets for the enemy to disrupt this devotion, to disrupt this level of closeness. The same closeness that is necessary for us to successfully and calmly navigate the day-to-day. And I don't know about you, but this was blessing me because I needed that reminder to take back control as it relates to not being in control, if that makes sense. Meaning I needed the reminder to actively reposition myself as the branch, the one that is connected to the vine, the one in which the power source flows directly from him onto me. And as a result of that, I'm bearing much fruit. As a result of that, I'm blossoming. I personally needed that reminder, and I believe that some of you may as well. So the author goes on to say, when I finished the section on Hudson Taylor, I dropped to my knees there on that cold concrete floor and began to cry. I was so happy. I kept thinking, that's it. It's the vine that does the work. The fruit is a product of the sap that runs from the vine into the branch. I couldn't get over the fact that the Holy Spirit was willing and able to produce through me the very fruit I had been trying so hard to produce on my own. I was on my knees for almost 3 hours just crying and thanking God for opening my eyes to this wonderful truth. When I got up, I was a new man. My whole perspective on the Christian life was different. The verse that kept running through my mind was one I had preached on just a few weeks earlier. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's Galatians 2:20. The part I clung to for the next several weeks was, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I was no longer I who expected to produce patience, self-control, and love in my life. That was a job for the Holy Spirit. It was no longer I who was expected to produce joy in the midst of stress. That, too, was the Holy Spirit's responsibility. It was no longer I who was expected to produce anything in the way of character. It was Christ working through the Holy Spirit, producing character in me. What a relief. A huge burden was lifted off of my shoulders that afternoon, and I walked out of that study a free man. And I thank God for him sharing this because I feel like I walked out of personally reading this chapter a new woman. Something that I feel like is a gap for me in my life right now that I'm praying for the Lord to fill is mentorship, because in giving myself a little bit of grace, I'm navigating a level of womanhood that I don't feel like I was taught how to successfully do. Like, I wasn't taught how to be submitted to my husband and how to nurture my children in a loving way and teach them the ways of the Lord. I wasn't taught how to continue to go after the things that the Lord has called me to, but while still maintaining a lot of presence and focus on my home. Like, there are so many things that the Lord is teaching me and has been teaching me and guiding me through. There are so many things that he's showing me that I didn't have a person in my life to teach me and show me how to do. And because of that, a lot of things I have to course correct. Self-awareness is necessary so that I could seek opportunities on what to seek the Lord on. But this really blessed me because I feel like it gave me a practical solution to what I was praying about as far as navigating this season in a way to where it is connected to the Lord and empowered by his grace and not my own strength. And so one of those key takeaways that I have that I wrote down was Galatians 2:20. And so me being somebody who's busy and on the move, I wrote down Galatians 2:20, put it somewhere that I'm reading every single day. So yes, I'm praying in the morning. Yes, I'm reading my word. Yes, I'm checking all the boxes of the day-to-day life of a Christian, but I'm specifically focusing on approaching every day from a place of the correct perspective, that it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And I think that's an important distinction or an important focal point for any of us who find ourselves wanting to live a life surrendered to the Spirit, but unsure how to do so in all of life's responsibilities. I think waking up and really establishing that perspective, and not just doing it in the morning, but doing it however many times you need to in order for it to really sink in, is really important. So I was grateful that he shared what he did after he got this revelation, because this is something that we can all pull from and apply to our lives as well. He said, "As I went back into the house, I knew that something wonderful had happened to me. But how would I tell others about it? After all, this is the truth everyone needs. Freedom everyone should enjoy in Christ. Then I had an idea. I went over to the bookshelf in the den, pulled out an old Bible, and opened it to Galatians 2:20. This is it, I said out loud. God had already given me the message he wanted me to preach. It is no longer I, but Christ through me. That was the change he made and the truth I could proclaim to others. My only concern at that time was losing my new treasure. Mountaintop experiences were nothing new to me. However, they always faded in time." Listen up, those of you who find yourself on fire for the Lord and it goes away, really focused on these goals and your relationship with God, but then it fades. Listen to this. He says, "My only concern at the time was losing my new treasure. Mountaintop experiences were nothing new to me. However, they always faded in time. Somehow I knew this was different, but I wanted to make sure. So I read and reread the section on Hudson Taylor in Edmund's little book. I went to bed each night meditating on any verse I could find that dealt with abiding in the Spirit." So here we are with another strategy. So we talked about Galatians 2:20 being a specific focus. Then he talked about how he read and reread the section of the book that he had. Now, this isn't for you to go out and get Edmund's little book that he's talking about. But whatever it is, whatever revelation that was meaningful to you, that was effective in the Lord getting your attention, you need to put yourself in a position where you're reading and rereading it. This book right here was a book that really helped push me into the right position. And here I am back reading it again. And so you have to do the exact same thing. Whatever it is for you, whatever your little book is, read it and reread it again as you're learning to retrain or train yourself for the first time on how to live this way. And again, he said, "I went to bed each night meditating on any verse I could find that dealt with abiding or the Holy Spirit." So we should always take, even when we have these supplemental materials, we should always take this back to then finding scripture that supports these revelations and what we're learning. And then we meditate on that word day and night. These are practical strategies. So I hope you're writing these down. He had another quote that I thought was really good from the book that he was reading. It says, "Abiding, not striving nor struggling, looking off unto him, trusting him for present power, trusting him to subdue all inward corruption, resting in love of an almighty Savior." I even highlighted here the specific part where he said, "trusting him to subdue all inward corruption." For me personally, this gave me another prayer point to add onto me meditating on Galatians 2:20. Because I know that my inward corruption leads me to self-sufficiency. It leads me to trying to figure stuff out on my own. It leads me to trying to be in control. It leads me to looking to practical tools versus just trusting God. It leads me to being swept up into the responsibilities of the day-to-day versus maintaining my pace. These are all things that the enemy has successfully used to keep me out of the right position. And so now, but with me knowing that, it has to be a consistent prayer point and a consistent space to where I'm trusting the Lord. Because for me, I could get frustrated, feel guilty, or beat myself up when my nature takes over. But if I go about my day understanding that I'm going to trust the Lord to subdue my nature so that I can be dependent on him, that allows me to go about the day less overwhelmed, more at peace, one less thing on my mind. Do you see how us focusing on the Lord and trusting him and abiding in him is such a simple solution to most of our problems? It's simple, not easy, but simple nonetheless. We don't have to jump 3 times, do 10 squats, only drink water for 365 days in order for us to see transformation. We just have to trust the Lord, abide in him. Now, in doing that, he may lead you to certain things like fasting or praying or certain acts. He may lead you to do certain things. But what I'm saying is the foundation of it all is what we're discussing here in this book. And then he will lead us to what steps or additional steps might be necessary for us to see the transformation that we're looking for. The author continues to share some insights that he got from studying specifically Jesus's illustration of the vine and the branch in John 15. He says, the disciples must have known from the tone of Jesus' voice that something big was about to happen. He repeatedly alluded to his departure. Until that time, they had drawn their strength and security from his presence. The thought of carrying on without him must have been depressing. After all, even when he was there, they were prone to being sidetracked. We do the exact same thing. Jesus knew their fears. He knew how dependent on him they were for direction and perspective. So as he moved towards his final hours, he explained the way things would work after he was gone. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear even more fruit. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. And neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's John 15, 1 through 5. The author says, I don't fully understand a great deal about this passage, but 2 things are clear. First, Christ expected his followers then and now to bear fruit. Notice he did not expect them to produce fruit, just bear it, and not merely some fruit, but much fruit. The amount of fruit we bear correlates with how apparent it is to others that we are believers. Our faith is known to others through the good deeds that overflow from our character, according to Matthew 5:16, or the fruit that we bear. You know as well as I do that for others to be impressed with our lifestyles or good deeds, we must be consistent. Unbelievers are very sensitive to our inconsistencies. Oftentimes, they look for them. So if we are to bear the kind of fruit Jesus is talking about, the kind that draws others to our way of believing, there must be regular harvest. He says the second truth that is clear from these verses is that what Jesus calls us to do is impossible. It's not merely difficult. It's not simply a struggle. It's not just hard. It is impossible. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's John 15 and 5. Not a little, not a few things, nothing. This should come as good news. If you are like I was for so long, you may wonder whether something is wrong with you, whether everybody else knows something you don't. That's not the case at all. You struggle like you do because you are attempting the impossible. No one can live the Christian life apart from Christ, at least not with the consistency necessary to accomplish what Jesus had called us to accomplish. In essence, he was saying to his followers, men, if you think you are dependent on me now, wait until I'm gone. He knew that their tendency would be to do exactly what we do. After he was gone, they would conduct themselves as soldiers who had been given orders. They would strike out to fulfill their mission of righteousness. He wanted them to understand that though he was not going to be with them physically, he still expected them to depend on him. And the same holds true for us today. To put it in more practical terms, if you do not learn to abide in Christ, you will never have a marriage characterized by love, joy, and peace. You will never have the self-control necessary to consistently overcome temptation. And you will always be an emotional hostage of your circumstances. Why? Because apart from abiding in Christ, you can do nothing. He says, Jesus makes a clear delineation between the vine and the branch. The two are not the same. He is the vine. We are the branches. The two are joined, but are not one. The common denominator is the sap. The sap is the life of the vine and its branches. Cut off the flow of sap to the branch, and it slowly withers and dies. As the branch draws its life from the vine, so we draw life from Christ. To abide in Christ is to draw upon His life. His life is made available through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The abiding presence of the Holy Spirit is life of Christ in us. That is why Paul could use these phrases interchangeably in his letter to the Romans. He says, "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness." And that's Romans 8, 9 through 10. Jesus Christ dwells in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. To have the Spirit in us is to have life of Christ within. So Paul was accurate when he wrote, "When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory." And that's Colossians 3, 4. He says, the practical outworking of all of this is twofold. One, personal victory over sin, and two, Spirit-energized service. God never intended for His children to live defeated lives. Did you get that? God never, never, never intended for His children, that includes you, to live a life characterized by defeat. He doesn't expect you to live with defeat in your thought life, your emotions, your attitude, your self-control, or your faith. He paid much too high of a price to allow you into His family to just watch you fail in your attempts to function as a full-blown family member. God's plan of salvation includes a provision for saving you from yourself. And the key player in that part of His plan is, you guessed it, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's answer to the problem of righteous living. He is the abiding presence of Christ's life in you. That is why Paul could say with confidence, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." He understood that upon receiving the Holy Spirit, he was endowed with the source of power and strength that could bring his character into line with God's righteous standard. Paul knew, as we must come to know, that he never had to say, "Well, I'd like to change, but I can't. That's just the way I am." As a Spirit-indwelt child of God, Paul understood his potential for godly transformation. He understood that change was contingent upon, not upon him, but upon the new life that flowed through him. There's more, but I'm going to actually stop there because I feel like that covers the gist of this chapter. But this was so good to me because it was a reminder of how active our faith has to be. Our flesh, if we just go with the flow, it's naturally going to drift away from the Lord. We're naturally going to be held hostage by our emotions, by circumstances, by thoughts, etc. But we have to actively get in position, remain in position, recognize when we're getting out of position, and then adjust. And I don't know about y'all, but this was a blessing to me. This is an answered prayer because I felt myself with new responsibilities with the new baby, school, etc. I saw how easy it could be for me to just slip right into self-sufficiency, slip right into being in control. And the Lord has not brought me this far and has not blessed me in this way for me to try to do it without Him. And I can't, because apart from Him, I can do nothing. So this chapter for me was a necessary refocusing. And I believe it gave some really practical ways to do that as well. So I hope this was as good to you as it is to me. Again, get this book, The Spirit-Filled Life by Charles Stanley. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, a.k.a. Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.